All right. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce our speaker. I had the opportunity to sit down with him a couple weeks ago and just kind of talk about the things of God. And you can tell he's studied his Bible well. So we're going to ask Brother Carter to come and bring the thoughts the Lord is giving to him.
Amen.
Good. Give me a second here. I might have to adjust this mic. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Brother Lucas. I first and foremost want to say thank God for salvation. I wasn't raised in the Church of God, but being able to come here and be with fellow saints of God that are certainly on fire for the things of God is such a blessing to my soul. I'm very blessed to have grown up in a very godly home. I thank God for my mother and father, but when I found this place, I've been blessed beyond measure. I unfortunately don't get to come over on Wednesdays like much of the saints here, but I am certainly overflowing when I get to come over here on Sunday, so thank the Lord for that. Secondly, thank God for the message, not the message, but the service this morning, for the ones that God helped, salvation, and the anointed singing. So before we go get into the thought tonight, I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we're very thankful for what you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the saints here, dear God. Thank you for salvation and just everything that you've given us, God. I thank you for your anointing and the word of God that pierces, God. We thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, dear God, this evening, Lord, that I only say the things that you would have me to say, Lord. These are the thoughts that you've allowed to come to me. I praise you, God, for all that you are, Lord. Thank you for our youth leaders and each and every single one of these young people, Lord. Thank you for them, God. Thank you for the congregation here, Lord. For what you've done, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me over into 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Yeah, this might not work. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to be reading, this is going to sound like a lot, but I'm going to go fly through it, about 17 verses of Scripture. And it has to do with our thought tonight, which I'll get into. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to begin with the 12th verse, and we're going to go down to the 27th verse. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have been more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ. So if we look at what the Word of God has to say about what the church is tonight, we can see several different references. If you look in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter mentions a city coming down out of heaven from God. You can also see, it might be in the 12th chapter, a woman. And that's referred to the bride of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 makes mention of a spiritual house. 1 and 2 Corinthians also makes mention of the temple of God and a building. And when I was putting this together, I thought of a song that Sister Cummings sings. Are you building it up or are you tearing it down? Right. And that kind of goes with what the message that I have for the young people tonight. It follows the line, are you helping or are you hurting the body of Jesus Christ? So we can clearly see within these verses of Scripture here tonight that Paul was making a connection. Paul was making a correlation between the physical members of our body to the working members of Jesus Christ. You see, in God's church, the members are led through a divine relationship between the saints and the Spirit of God. And that's the only thing that puts you in the church. You know, many people are very blessed to grow up in the church of God. Blessed to sit under the anointed preaching, the anointed singing, and thank God for that. But none of that makes you a member of the church of God.
Right.
Salvation alone through Jesus Christ. The right. Quarterly this morning spoke on the accept or the essentials of salvation. And Brother Quarter related his message to us on being born again. And I'm going to add there, you can't come into this divine relationship without truly being born again. Now that's a common thing within the church of God being preached, and thank God for that. But it's an essential.
True.
So if we look into the background, the context of this 1 Corinthian letter, Paul was writing to what I've, from my understanding, a fairly new congregation, a congregation that was needing some light on their experience. You know, looking back at it from our present day light that we have, we can be very easy to judge them, to cast judgment on them.
Sure.
From where they were at.
Sure.
Whereas we didn't come out of, I think they came out of paganism.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole history on that, but they came out of a situation where we didn't come out of, we weren't raised in that time. So looking back on it can be very easy to cast judgment on what they were dealing with. But Paul called them babes in Christ. So we can't so easily discount their salvation or their relationship with Jesus Christ. But they didn't have a lot of light on their experience. However, the principle here, what I want to speak on, is the things that was going on in the church at the time. Brother Paul spoke on contention, division, envy, and strife. Just to name a few, there was a few other things in there. But those were some of the points that he made in emphasis. And I'd like to connect that to our personal lives today. Likewise, today, these same issues that were amongst the church of God at Corinth can make the same appearance if we fail to keep our flesh right where it needs to be, in the ground and dead.
Yes.
So what does it mean to keep our flesh dead? Paul referred to the term carnal when he was speaking to the Corinthian church there. And I looked up what that word carnal means because I've heard it before. And he said, "Ye are yet carnal." What does that mean? Well, it means of the flesh. Mm-hmm. When, if an individual says that ye are yet carnal, your flesh is coming out.
Right.
You know. And I listened to a message by Brother Wilson one time, and he said you cannot knowingly be carnal and still be saved. Mm-hmm. So we have to look back, when we look back on this 1 Corinthian church, when Paul says ye are yet carnal and I feed you with milk, in a sense we can assume that they didn't have light on their experiences. However, like I said, it's the principle that applies here. So we have to kill the desires of the flesh within our experience. Well, why do we have to do that? Why can't I just go out and do what I want to? Well, if we don't kill the things of the flesh, it's going to kill you.
Right.
And it's going to, and not only you, but how you are spiritually, the effects that, maybe not everything that you're indulging in is perhaps sinful, but even things that aren't sinful can begin to work on you. Can begin to have an effect on you. The things of the flesh that, for example, this is a simple one, not spending as much time in the Word, that's very
right.
Simple. You know, for other things such as, you know, playing sports or whatnot. Not to say any of that's bad.
Right.
I was an avid sports player in high school. I did 3 seasons of sports every year. I could. But when it draws away from the things of God, when your desires of the flesh for the things of the world begin to take place in your experience, your spirituality level begins to drop and it begins to dwindle away your spiritual life.
Yes.
And like I said, it doesn't only kill you, it begins to affect those around you. You know, the Church of God speaks on the falling away of the 6 sealed brethren, and it was little by little.
True.
So if we look at what the devil's goal is within this world, it is to deceive as many people as he can, to get as many people as he can into a sinner's hell. Not only that, but to tear apart the body of Christ killing our effectiveness as the people of God. Not only is it our job to serve Jesus Christ within this world, but it's also our job to get as many people into the body.
Right. Amen.
As many people as I can into the body.
Yes.
No, not only am I thinking about the things of God, what can I do to serve God? Jesus, what can I do? I often pray, Lord, help me to serve you. But maybe I need to pray, Lord, help me to get more people into the kingdom. Because it's not just about me. You know, it can be easy to come to the church. We're so blessed. And I'm so thankful for that. Looking on to the church of God and what many of you guys were raised in, and that's such a blessing. Please don't ever look over that.
Yes, amen.
But me looking on, you know, I can think of, let's also, in a way, focus on ones that are in the world. And not to say anything about anybody, because I'm not the Lord, but this is just a thought I have. Let's not only serve Jesus Christ, but man, let's get more souls in the kingdom.
Right.
Isn't that our job? He said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know? Yes, we're in the church of God. Thank God for that. But let's get some disciples. Let's work on the body of Christ. Let's build it up.
Amen.
And I think if we have a greater passion for that, and that's just a growing process. That's a work of the things of God in our lives. You know, that's an outpouring of the Spirit of God's work,
right.
You know, love, joy, peace, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a growing process.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil's desire is to not only get you into hell, and that's just to put it blindly, a sinner's hell, we've heard a lot about that within the messages, but it's to keep you from impacting others' lives.
Right.
It's to keep you from being an effective saint of God and get as many people into the kingdom. Again, I'm just reiterating this topic of getting more people into the kingdom. And that certainly needs to be one of our desires. So how does the devil work against the church? In our case, the church doesn't fight much political persecution, such as, you know, other countries, third world countries. If we are in Saudi Arabia, perhaps we'd have to fear, you know, jihadists or people coming in and hurting things, but with it here in the United States, God's given us such a blessing.
Right.
And we get to come to church and praise God in spirit and truth and not have to worry about someone coming in and hurting us.
Right.
You know, that's such a blessing. It's something easy to look over. And as I think about it now, it's such a blessing. So instead of things like that, the devil likes to work through the hearts of men and women, even young people, to get the same issues that the Corinthian church dealt with into the congregation. You know, it begins, I'd like to say, with the little things.
Right.
A little let down here spiritually. A little giving in here. You know. The devil likes to work on your weaknesses. You know, he's not going to come at you where you're full strength. You know. He begins to work on you in spots that, you know, man, should I give in there? I don't know. I'm not sure about this. And little by little, what's he work on? With young people, it can be attitudes.
Right.
I sound like a mother, but attitudes, you know, talking about people behind their back, gossiping, you know, running down the saints of God to other people, talking bad about the pastor, youth leaders. Little by little, he begins to get into the hearts of young people and men and women and tear down the congregation. And those are the types of things that the devil wants to do.
True.
To hear God's acres. Do you think that the devil doesn't want this place to exist?
Right. Sure.
Think about the souls that got help in there tonight.
Right. Right.
You think the devil's just sitting there, oh yes, thank the Lord. No, he's trying to throw doubt.
Yes, he is.
Cast false condemnation, confuse people. Well, you know, I heard Brother Decker say one time, well, they're just holy rollers. No, got the real thing.
Right.
Thank God for that. And the devil's trying to fight in every way he can, and although it's not political things, thank God for that. It's the little things within the hearts and lives of young people I can get at it.
Amen.
So if we look at 1 Peter 5:8, you don't have to turn there, but it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
some might have the wrong idea about what the devil is. He's, you know, you might have heard this before. He's not a, he's not some scary looking figure with a pitchfork and red with, you know, whatever. You know, he's a spirit. Just as God's a spirit, the devil's a spirit as well.
Right.
True.
And he works on you in a spiritual way, you know. So we have to be careful and be on watch. So one of the last things that I want to look at here is how Paul wrote that God sets the members in the body as it hath pleased him. Not only is our job, as I said before, as members of the body of Christ, to praise and please and serve God, but it's also to encourage and build up other members of the body of Christ. You know, I hit on getting other people into the kingdom of God, but it's also our job to encourage and uplift one another. That's why the word of God says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together.
That's
or it
right.
says assembly. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Yes.
So just as we have to serve Jesus Christ, we have to get other people into the kingdom of God. We also have to encourage one another. If I'm going around and stabbing everybody in the back, well, so-and-so, you know, they have a bad attitude with me. Don't go over there and talk to them. Now, that might be a little extreme, but it has an effect.
Right, true. Right.
That's my brother. That's my sister. I'm in the congregation with them. Why would you do that? Now, those are the types of things that the devil wants to work on people. And again, especially with young people and older people, too. It works on everybody. Next, you may not have any sin in your life, like I said, but are you encouraging or even going the extra mile to build up the body of Christ? It's a growing process.
Amen.
God will help you. Maybe you're saying, I'm not comfortable. I don't like to walk over to the other side of the congregation and talk to somebody. Well, you know, maybe it's not sinful, but maybe God will help you. Things to encourage and build up the congregation. Because
right.
one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to unify his people.
Yes, he does.
He wants to unify his people. And not only does he want to unify the church of God, people that are part of the light, part of the truth, but he also want to unify the people within the congregation. You know, there doesn't need to be divisions. Some might say factions. There doesn't need to be factions within the church. So going the extra mile to build up the body of Christ, being the encouraging saints of God that, you know, we need to be. So I want to end you on this thought here. If Paul wrote a letter concerning your spiritual life, could he honestly say you were helping or hurting the body of Christ?
Very good.
Thank you, guys.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory.
As he was speaking, my mind went back to an old saying that I'm sure many of you have heard your mother say. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. Don't say anything at all. But it's really easy to say, oh, I was just joking, I was just kidding, I've been there. Is it helpful or is it hurting the church of God?